Today's show is destroying our communities from within. That's the topic for the day. And, you know, we like to blame all types of outside influences for destroying our communities. You understand what I'm saying? We say there's some who've made it that are not paying forward. There's others out there that say we just should separate all together from the masses and join and form our own country. Another says there's a lack of resources. Question is, I can get back into what I was talking about. All right, y'all, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And as I was mentioned before, the topic today is destroying our communities from within. Hey, as I said, we always want to blame some outside invisible force or what have you. But let's talk about what we're doing from within to help destroy our own communities. Now, you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, you know, but we're going to have us a great conversation, because I'm going to start it off with something, and it has been controversial before on this show, and I'm sure it will be controversial again, but, you know, I have to get my two cents in for the way I feel about something, all right? So I hope y'all ready, so go on and get that smoothie. You know, that cup of joe, that midday cocktail, your big bottle of water, whatever you sipping on. And in case of Goofy, whatever you smoking on. I could leave that out. And just get ready, because we got a ride on this train for you today. All right. Now, for those that's listening who would like to join in on the conversation, that's no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com or go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Hey, leave me a message or friend me or whatever you want to do. I'm on the 800 times a day, so I'm just telling you. Now, of course, I'm going to have to go and put this out there too. If you email me around 9 o'clock Central Time tonight, you will not get any response, okay? I'm just telling you because scandal's going to be on, and I got to watch my scandal now. Season finale. It's hot and popping. It's hot and popping. That's all I'm going to say about that. Anyway, so that's what's going on. It's Thursday. It's in the mid-90s here. So, hey, it's a beautiful day. We're going to have a beautiful show. And I want to give them shout-outs. Once again, I'm shouting out the Goofy Bone in the house in the chat room right now. We got 67, area code 678, 817, and 111 on the switchboard. Thank y'all for joining me today and for everybody else out there just listening. All right. Now that I done talked myself down, let's get to some things we usually do. House rules, y'all, house rules. On the show, we encourage open dialogue, and we love to hear everybody's opinion. There's no doubt. If you have an opinion, we would love to hear it. That's what we're here for. That's why the show is called Let's Talk, because we want to hear what you're thinking out there. I know what I'm thinking, but I want to hear what you're thinking compared to what I'm thinking. Okay? Now, however, you know, once you come on the line, I usually leave the mics open so you can engage in a roundtable slash discussion type setting. However, respect everybody's mic time. Okay, please. In other words, do not talk over each other. Because when you start talking over each other, no one can hear or understand what you're saying. You may be making some outstanding points at the time, but we don't understand because everybody's jaw-jacking at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Understand it? Oh, Lord have mercy. So, please, no talking at the same time. Also, please make your responses or comments short and sweet to the point as possible. That way we can get as much activity or conversation in as we possibly can during the time that we're on the air. You know, in other words, do not come talking about 15, 20 minute dissertation when it could be a yes or no or a short 3 to 5 minute answer. Okay? And, of course, the big thing on the show that I do not like and will not tolerate is no personal attacks. Don't attack anybody on this show. You're gonna. We are adults. You know, we should be able to talk to each other without getting to the level of personal attack. Okay? No, you're gonna attack the subject. You're gonna attack what someone has said, but don't attack that person. Beyond a few of us, we don't know who you are, what you got going on. So why are you gonna attack them? This is radio, internet radio. Understand? Don't stoop that level. Okay, don't stoop to that level. And, of course, if anyone violates any of those great, 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 great house rules that I just went over, you will hear this. That's right. That means you've been tased. That's right. You know, I'll put you on the sideline for a couple of minutes. Now, if you continue to do that and you just don't want to adhere to the rules, and you may hear this one here.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Press any key to return to the main menu.
That's right. That means you have been banished. That's right. You've been kicked off the air on this show anyway. So those are just two of the things that I wanted to put on out there. All right. Now, with all that being said, those are the house rules, and please abide accordingly. All right. I know I sound a little bit like I was in church then. Please abide accordingly. Okay. Anyway. Now, let's see what else we got going on. So, hey, y'all, let's get on to talking. Now, as well as do, we have the song of the day and the quote of the day. Now, I'm gonna give y'all the quote of the day first, and then I'm going to play the song of the day. And, yes, this is another, oh, man, wait till y'all hear this song of the day. I'm telling you, boy, hoo-hoo, y'all just don't know. But anyway, here's the quote of the day. Another flaw in the human character is that everybody wants to build and nobody wants to do maintenance. Okay, I'm going to say it one more time. Another flaw in the human character is that everybody wants to build and nobody wants to do maintenance. And that's by Kurt Vonnegut, Hocus Pocus. Oh, man. And, that, you know, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today right there. That's kind of what we're going to be talking about. So, and let that sink in a little bit. Now, as far as the song of the day, another thing that pretty much, is, you know, talks about what we're going to be talking about today on the show. So sit back, get comfortable, and here it is, the song of the day.
You're
right, y'all. That's what I'm talking about right there. The song of the day, Respect Yourself by the Staple Singers. I'm telling you, man. Now, boy, do you think that song didn't have, it's not good for today? I'm telling you, man. Because she said some things. They said some words up in there. You know, it's funny because we are saying things we talk about all the time. All the time. But yet, I mean, man. So you come here thinking the world owe you something. You're going to go out backwards. Just like the way you came in. Ain't that something? Oh, boy. Wow. And I tell you. So, yeah, so that was a great song there. I'm telling you, man. Woo! That song got me kind of hyped. I really, really did. Got me so hyped my nose got stuffed up. I know. I'm tripping. Okay. Anyway, yeah, so that was the song of the day, Respect Yourself by the Staple Singers. Now, are you ready? Are we ready? And here it comes. Here it comes. We finna get to the conversation. All right, here it comes. Yeah, get it on. Hype it up. All right. Let's talk, y'all. Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't know why I did that. It just sounded good. It was a good thought at the time. Okay. All right. Now, let's talk about this thing called college. Yeah. Because I think that has a lot to do with the development of the destruction of our communities. I really do think so. Before I go ahead, the phone lines are open, so if you want to comment on anything, 347-838-8622. Once you call in, you just want to listen, just sit back and listen. If you want to comment on something, press 1 on the keypad, and I see your hand raised, and we can talk about some things. All right? So, already. Let me give you something to talk about first, okay, Joe? All right, the 2013 graduating class will already be $35,000 in the hole by the time they graduate. And that does include federal, state, and private loans. Now, so if you're coming out and you haven't, you know, you don't have a good job set up, you're already $35,000 in the hole. Does that seem fair? Is that really fair? I know. Anyway, 111, you're on the air. Happy Thursday to you. What's happening with you?
Yeah, Thursday.
All right. I hear you, Joe. You sound kind of subdued.
I always am. I'm just lying down here taking it easy.
Okay, we know what that's going to mean in a little bit.
Hey. Hey, you know what? Saying $35,000 in the hole for the graduating. Is that the average graduating class?
Yeah.
That?
Yeah, this year, 2013.
Because it's a lot higher than that I thought. I thought that they had about.
That's just with student loans, state and federal, and private loans. That's all that is.
Yeah, but if they've been doing that since freshman year. Right.
Yeah. Well,
that's 4 years, and if they've been doing it $20,000 a year, that's $80,000.
Well, depends on I don't think that's counting in. You know, that's not including part of what the parents kicking in and all that good stuff. This is probably just the actual students themselves. You know,
yeah,
and depending on what kind of school they're going to, you have to put that in also. Depends on what type of school you're going
to.
Yeah,
that's why I said $20,000, because Harvard is like, I think, $40,000,
$50,000. Yeah, depending on the school you go to.
Well, in any case, they're in the hole as soon as they graduate, and if they've really taken out a lot of loans, they need to get a really good job right away and save a lot of money.
My point. Hey, I have a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Why not go in the military? Hey, what about that, y'all? Go in the military. Hey, you don't have to. You won't come out $35,000 in the hole unless you're just a knucklehead. That's for sure. You can go to school. You don't have to pay for it. You just got to pass the classes.
Oh, come on. You and I have both been in the military. I had more free time than you did. They had this bootstrap program, and I didn't want to go at night because that would have meant I had to work during the day, go to school at night.
But see, here's the thing, isn't it, man? Yeah, I told you, you were back in the old days. It has changed since then, man. I'm telling you, you go through duty hours, you know, they give you laptops, you know. Hey, I'm telling you, you go to school as much as you want to.
Well, yeah,
but what?
But it still takes up time. If you got a 9-to-5 job working for the military during the day, right, then you've got time after that you've got to spend in the classroom. Whether the classroom was online or not online, you still got to spend time studying and being in a classroom.
No. No, no.
No.
No, Joe. No, Joe. No, Joe.
Oh, no, Joe. You sound like Ebony. Oh, God.
No, I don't sound like Ebony. Believe
no,
me.
No, I'm not talking about
believe
the voice.
That. Okay. Anyway, no, Joe. What I'm saying is, you know, yes, you probably do have to put in that time, but compare 35,000 coming out right now compared to the military. You do 2-3 years, you know, get your degree. And roll on out.
No, you're not going to do that, though. The thing is,
why are you not going to do that?
Because let's say you're in the Army. That's a 2-year stint unless you sign up for 4 years, or unless you go back for deployment.
Right.
Same time. When you're still studying for college, the time that you put in will designate how long it's going to take to get your degree. In order to get a full-time degree in 4 years, you have to devote full time to it. That's 15 credits a semester. If you're
Now, that's where it comes down to. Actually, no, Joe. It's set up. The military has a setup with a lot of university colleges where you don't have to go through that kind of rigmarole. Because they understand, you know, you have other things you got to do, like defend the country. So, you know, it's not as though they are, you know, they have to go to the traditional type. 15 credit hours a semester and all this good stuff, you know. But they still can go to school, though. And see, that's my point. They won't be $35K in the hole from student loans or anything like that.
I know you won't be, but you have to spend you have to re-up if you're really going to do it like that. You can't
well,
do
no,
it
you,
in 4 years.
But see, here's the beauty to that, Joe. They don't have to re-up. If they go on to get in, you know, as long as they participate in the GI Bill or whatever they're calling it now, when they get out, they still won't have to pay for it.
No,
they can enroll in college, and the government, the GI Bill that they saved up, will continue to pay for whatever school they want to go to.
Oh, they'll pay, but not the full tuition.
Well, I mean, it said it. Depends on where you go to school at, Joe.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, if you're going to go to Acme Community College, yeah. But if you want to go to a real college, no.
I mean, there's some real colleges out there that does, you know, make it set up for that. Now, here's the thing. Hopefully, while you were in the military, you know, you did knock out at least the basic criteria for what your degree is, depending on how long you stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you saved your ducks. You know, you saved your money. See what I'm saying?
Well, so you can do that on the outside.
No. People do not do that on the outside.
I do it on the outside. Other
well,
people
Joe,
do it on the outside.
Okay, you live in the mountains. You go out there and get your food. You ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah, I kill my kayaks. Then I go to Ozark Community College and then Harvard A. Mountain for my master's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, my point exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another option. Why not look at that as an option? If we got young black folk going in, we got kids going to college and they coming out $35,000 after 4 years, $35,000 in the hole. Come on now. You know, that's like going uphill on a on a scooter with two wheels. Come on now. a wagon with two wheels. You know what I mean? It's just
you know,
not...
if they graduated with only 35,000, they're lucky.
Well, I took an average. That was average.
All right.
Mm. Yeah. But the thing is, well, that's just for 2013, though, the class of 2013, you know, average. So I don't think everybody is actually going to the big universities anymore, unless, you know, you get a scholarship or something like that. You know?
Well, I think schools are racket anyway. I don't think anybody who's truly intelligent, unless they need that degree to get into their profession, you don't need to go to college, because you should be intelligent by the time you graduate high school. And then if you wanted to, you can take your own informal courses off without having to go to the university. Years ago, I had a professor tell me I didn't need to go to college. But I went to college anyway, got the degree, and now I have it. It hasn't done me a fucking bit of good, but I have it.
Oh, Lord, Joe. Okay. It has done you some good. You can look at it and say, that is something I have accomplished in my life.
No, oh, that's it. But it hasn't done me a bit of good in terms of making money in my the profession that I wanted to enter.
Well, Joe, let's be honest. Whose fault is that?
It wasn't mine.
Why not?
Because I got the degree. I got a good GPA. And other people they came out from Ivy League colleges competing with me. And at that time, it was employer's benefit. In other words, it was, what do you call it, a buyer's market. They could choose from you know, many candidates applying for the same position that I was going for. And if you were, you know, Ivy League, you were naturally selected over anybody else who wasn't Ivy League.
Okay. I'm going to say you didn't want it bad enough. But anyway, we got to.
All right, bring on the other callers.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Hold
on. If Michael isn't here, you got to pick up the pace.
Oh, 678, welcome to Let's Talk. Happy Thursday to you. You're on the air. Can we have your name, please?
My name is Carlene.
Hey, Carlene.
Hi. I wanted to comment on what the previous person just said.
Uh-huh.
In so many words, he was saying that college is overrated. And now I do agree that college is not for everyone. However, I do not feel that when a person finishes high school that they are ready to tackle the world. I feel that college helped one to learn to think. And with that, if they choose the right area to go in, that they will be more successful.
Hmm.
But the mere fact that you finished high school do not prepare you. Well, I don't feel that it does.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that your intelligence, colleges don't make you more intelligent. You are, if you're an intelligent human being, you don't need to go to college, except to get the degree, like I said, in order to get you into that profession which requires the degree. But by itself, it doesn't really prepare you for that, unless it's an occupation which is on hand, like a doctor, even a lawyer. You can study the law books without having to go to college.
Would you choose a lawyer that chose not to go to school and studied law books?
Say that again?
Would you choose a lawyer who had opted not to go to college and had studied law books instead?
Oh, if he had a winning track record of victories for his clients, absolutely.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right, let me bring Vernon in on this conversation. All right, Vernon, you're on the air. What's going on, man?
Hey, cuz, where are you?
I don't know. He may be. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, you know, I'm kind of agreeing with Carlene. You know, I don't think high school. You leave high school, it makes you you're intelligent. And here's the reason why.
I got to hear this. Okay.
You had to hear this?
I don't want to hear this.
Number one, you just finding out who you are. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Number two, the way the school system is set up today, they're not teaching you anything.
Uh-huh.
They're not.
Okay.
You know, they're teaching, what they're teaching is whatever standardized test the kids have to take to get out of school. That's what they're teaching. So, in other words, compared to what we learned when we was kids, those kids aren't, I'm going to say it like it is, those kids aren't not as half as smart as we were coming out of school because they're not getting help. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So here's what I meant.
Uh-huh. Here's what you meant.
Intelligence. Because remember, in order to get into Harvard, they do not take dummies and then turn them into geniuses. They take valedictorians, salutatorians.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be an intelligent person already to get into college, those kind of colleges.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good. I mean, there are those that need to. But what about the young, young black men that get out of school or have dropped out of school? What options are available for them?
Well, they should be taught to start their own business.
Well, most of them. now we're getting into destruction of the black neighborhoods. Start their own business? A lot of them do start their own business. It's not legal, but a lot of them start their own business.
I'm not talking about freaking drugs and prostitution.
But see, that's the thing. You have to talk about that.
Well, because
that's what's killing us within. The drugs, you know, black-on-black murder, things of that nature. You know, and look, it's like this. That's why I say you have to talk about it. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it.
Everybody.
But you got blacks, 13% minority of the whole population.
Yeah.
But 54% are dying. No, 54% of the deaths are dying, right? And then after that, probably 54% of them doing the killing also.
Wait a minute. What do you mean 54% are dying?
54% of the total deaths a year, blacks are involved in 54% of them.
Wait a minute.
Okay. 54. Okay. Out of the whole nation,
right,
as far as murders and what have you, 54% of them are black folk. Understand?
No, they're not. Because I've been in this discussion before. If you take a look at the 2008 or 2007 Department of Justice or FBI stats, more whites commit murders by a margin of 2-1 than blacks. Whites commit more arsons, extortions, felonies than blacks.
Before you go there, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. How many whites are killing whites on a daily basis?
85%.
You crazy as hell.
No, I'm not. There's a book called The Color of Crime, because I've been in this discussion too.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about with a black on black, that's a 94% ratio, where 94% of black people are killed by their own. But what people don't realize, because a lot of people are also saying, well, black people are, you know, they're dangerous and they're criminal-minded and they're the ones who commit most of the crimes and white people ought to look out. So I did some research. And in this book, you can download it. It's free. It's from the Internet. Color of Crime. And in it, 85% of murders done to whites are done by white people. 85%.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you hear, well, you know, the crime rate is that more blacks kill whites than whites kill blacks, not true.
Well, I'm not even including the whites. I'm talking black on black killing ourselves within our own community. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, then you got a real problem there.
So far, 95 black young men have died in Chicago already, 95.
Yeah.
And it's 91 in New York City.
Right.
You know, and these are things we're not talking about. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing how, depends on where you live or who's involved, they can find whoever did it real fast. Let's say like the Boston bombers. They
right.
had no, man, they closed down the whole city to find who that was.
Right.
But yet, these people, young men are killing each other, being killed. Nobody's doing anything about that. Okay, that's another one down. another mark for success. Let's keep going.
Well, I've been on other programs where they said that too. Yeah. I forget who. They say if it was a black community and a black bomb went off, the commotion would have lasted a few days and would have died. Then it would have died down. So yeah, Boston Marathon, very famous. They closed down the whole city. True.
Uh huh. Oh, okay. All right. You just gonna say true.
Yeah, what else was I gonna say?
Okay, I don't know. I'm just wondering, Joe. But that's just an example I was using. Yes, go ahead, Carlene, I hear you.
This goes back to when he stated about kids going into business, entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The entrepreneurship where there are street pharmacists is one of the big major problems for our communities destroying ourselves from within. When the gang violence is another problem that caused us to destroy our own communities, we're doing such a wonderful job at destroying our own community that we don't need the help from anyone else. They could just send us thank you cards.
And you're right. And I'm glad you said that because, we have that dysfunctional gangster rap culture, that glorifies promiscuity, promiscuity.
Yeah,
drugs,
whole,
it's easy
for you to say. And
everybody, on their videos, they lately got guns or weapons and all that good stuff. So, yes, I mean, we don't need any help from the outside, because we're doing it to ourselves. Everybody want to follow all these great rappers, and that's giving our young men growing up now distorted values of mm-hmm. what it really is to be a successful black man. Go ahead, ask your question.
If in the black community there was only about, 8% unemployment, do you think the drug epidemic would be as widespread as it is now?
If it was what, 8%?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
So you don't think poverty has anything to do with the kids going out there and sticking themselves with needles?
No.
Or smoking?
I think that if minimum wage is what, $5.75 an hour?
No, it's $7.25.
Yeah, $7.25, I think.
Okay. And if you compare that to what they make from selling drugs, which mm-hmm. one give them the greatest satisfaction in terms of money?
Right.
So rather they look at the fast money rather than the consequences.
Mm. Well, okay. What if they were making $30,000 a year instead of $15,000 a year? Do you think they would still give up a job in mainstream America in order to push crack?
No.
Okay.
I ain't gonna say that. No.
All right.
Oh.
All right. So that means
Eric, am I on?
Yeah, you're on now.
Yeah, cuz where were you?
I was busy, man. Some of us gotta work, Joe.
Oh well, some of us don't.
Well, go ahead, Vernon.
Well, I was just listening to y'all there about this. Joe asked that question, dude, about the. The unemployment rate and the amount of money a person make, would it change the drugs, whether or not people sell drugs or not. Now, uh-huh. You got people out there making $30,000 and $40,000 a year that still sell drugs, man, on the side.
Okay.
It's about, like Eric said, man, that thing is promoted by rappers It's a status thing. For some reason, a black person's way of identifying themselves is by how nice of a car they got, how big of rims they got on it, how much jewelry they got on, have on.
Right.
That's the way they identify themselves, and as far as what their status is, in the communities, which is crazy as hell because. How many rings you got on? Don't mean you actually necessarily got anything, man.
That's right. Yeah. You're right, yeah. Vernon. Hold on.
But,
I'm sorry. Are you through, Vernon? Vernon?
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay, let me bring somebody else in.
I got
Hello,
a feeling.
111.
I got a feeling. I
you
know
on the,
it.
You
know.
On the air.
I know.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I know.
Joe.
Hello.
Yeah, anyway, I caught the tail end of it. Well, first off, let me say, if I know any better, I would think Joe is Howard Stern. He sounds just like him.
Oh, so it's not Michael. Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And anyway, well, I'm going to say this, okay? I'm about to say, I mean, it's going to make me look like an anathema or a pariah in the room, okay? But the fact is, okay, I think blacks do it to themselves. That is, they choose to be woefully ignorant. Now, let me explain, okay? Prime example. You know, blacks don't embrace education. Now, you know, for any successful civilization to survive, okay, you must have an educated populace. Generally speaking, okay, from my experience, I guess in the black community, I guess to be smart shows that you're trying to be better than someone. You know, that's a very sick mentality to have, okay? Another issue, okay, is I guess primarily with black men, okay, They think being cool is more important than having your shit together. Okay, just because you have the flyest Jordans, I don't think they fly anymore, but you have, you know, the flyest, you know, couture on, you know, Jordans, you know, I think Jabot's what they call it now, and such, does not make you noble, okay? What's in your head should count, okay? And then as far as black women, okay, well, it seems as if, you know, when you tear your man down, you know, and such, well, that kind of hurts your chance of getting, you know, finding a decent black man, quote unquote. Another thing, basically. Is he still there?
Yeah, we still there.
Right.
Okay, another thing is I've noticed, okay, with black people, like, you know, okay, Obama. Okay, yes, you know, you can use the bullshit rhetoric that, oh, he inherited the problems, okay. But the man came in, you know, to a mess. He knew what he was getting into. But for some reason, okay, the man has done, you know, far, you know, has done worse, okay? Now, I've tried to tell many other blacks that, okay, this man has done nothing for the black community, you see. But, you know, I guess since, you have a mole in power, I guess all that matters. I guess he's sticking it to whitey, quote, unquote, you see. Do you guys go off my point so far?
Well, I don't disagree with most of them. I don't know about the rest of the guys here.
Well, I agree with some of them. However, I mean, the biggest part I agree with, you're right. He hasn't done much for black folk because black people haven't asked him to do anything.
Exactly.
You know, we haven't required of him to do anything. You know, a lot of us were just happy with him getting office. That's
well,
it.
Well, true. As, you know, many blacks were like that, and I try to tell them, okay, you know, that, you know, so far, you people, you're the ones who always cry victimization. You know, yes, I know you've had a rough time for being, you know, being in this country and so forth, but the fact is, okay, you have a mule in Congress or the mule in power. You know,
sir,
yeah?
can we get off the mule? Okay?
I thought it was real talk.
Now, it is real talk, but, you know, come on now. But go ahead, continue on.
Give me a fucking break.
Well, I guess that ends that.
Hello?
Yes, we're listening.
This guy hung up on me.
Nobody hung up on
you. Okay.
Oh. Well,
we didn't hang up on you.
As I was stating, okay, I know, dovetailing with that, okay, you know, they're always first to cry about, oh, we have the biggest brunt of unemployment and such. Well, you know, you have a black face in office, okay, I thought you wanted that and such. Another thing, okay, I would say this, primarily with black special.
Hold up, sir. I don't think that the majority of black folks wanted a black face, as you put it, in office. Number one, a majority of us want someone who's going to do something for this country, you know, help everybody out. Now, you keep saying bullshit, you know, that's fine. We just, you know, it was nice that we actually had one, you know, approved by the elite or the talented 10th or whatever you want to call them, to, you know, allow him to be placed in office. However, you know, let's not get it twisted, because not every black person in the world votes for somebody who's black. Yes, there are a lot of individuals out there that do. However, there are a lot of that do not. You know, we want, like myself, I don't vote Democrat or Republican. I don't give a damn. You know, I'm an independent. So I want somebody who's going to do what's best for me and my family. That's what I want. So as far as this color thing, that has nothing to do with it.
Yes, it does, sir.
And you know what? And here's the thing, and that's part of the problem right now we have, not only in our own community, but in the United States, period. We still stuck on this color thing. You know, instead of trying to work together, you know, we still stuck on this. This country is one of the most self-hating, self-disrespecting, divided people in the world. We can't come together on nothing. Nothing. So that what you're speaking right now is not even in the ballpark. But go ahead,
well,
sir.
I hate the burst of bubble, sir, but the fact is, okay, I mean, I'm not to try to, you know, deviate from the topic, but the country was not made to be multicultural, as many blacks, you know, want it to be. They're so keen upon diversity, and I told them, okay, you know, diversity means nothing if nothing's getting done, okay? And I tell them, if diversity is so ideal, so noble, okay, then try voicing that upon the folks, let's say, in China. And more than likely, okay, for any retard who goes there and says that, he might get killed. I can guarantee you, sir, 10 to 1, okay, he will be killed where he stood for saying such rubbish, okay?
All right. I got somebody else with their hand up to see if they want to join the conversation.
Oh, I hope it's low. I want to hear
111, you're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead. Hello. Hey, Mace.
Hello, guys.
How you doing?
This man, I don't know his name, but I have a question for him.
Oh,
okay, go ahead.
Since you think this country was made for you and you only, what do you think when you get to the drug dealers? When you get to the drug dealers, I'm not talking about the pushers, I'm talking about the dealers. Who do you think they get the drugs from? That brought into the community. The pusher get caught, but not the dealer.
That's not the point I'm trying to make.
Let me tell you something about the Iran-Contra and what happened, how those drugs got in there with Free Ray Ricky and the government working with him to bring him into that community. You remember that? Since you went here with Joe.
How does that change the topic?
Excuse me? Same topic you're talking about. See, with you, you want to be supreme and think nobody else can run this country except somebody look like you.
I did not say that. I'm supreme. I don't believe in supremacy.
Can I speak to you, folks, and let me say what I got to say, okay? You think nobody can run this country except somebody look like you. And you always think that black people voted for the president because he's black, or the black people are looking for him to give them. I'm not looking for him to give me nothing. I never look for no president to give me nothing. You understand? Only thing I ever want is the same rights that you got to do the same thing that you do. And you always talk about 13% of the population of black people don't have jobs. I wonder why. Have you ever looked around and think about the discrimination and all of the stuff happening on jobs where they can sue and can't sue?
We don't say discrimination.
We don't do that.
What I'm saying is this, okay, if you let me finish my point as I was trying to make, okay.
I'm letting you.
Black men being lazy. I'll tell you, I can give you a prime example, okay. Growing up, you know, the blacks I worked with were more concerned about, quote-unquote, meeting females, as they put it.
Let me tell you about some of the ones that I know. Some of them can't even read and got some black women reading for them, and they supervise. So what about
okay, Mace, let him finish.
Okay,
let him finish.
Yo, your sister soldier. Hold on. Okay.
You can call me all the names you want to, supremacy.
As I'm saying, okay, you know, the black men I come across, okay, usually have no work ethic. They're more concerned about trying to be cool, okay, trying to hook up with this. Oh, she's, no, this bitch is fat.
You sound just like your granddaddy.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
My point is basically, okay, if you have work ethic, you know, maybe you might get far in life, okay? I mean, I don't condone mass immigration, but the fact is, okay, prime example, like you have all these Mexicans who, quote-unquote, you know, will do jobs out of time. No, don't do. Okay.
No question. But excuse me. Do they have lazy white men?
Excuse me?
Do all of them work? Or they want to sit around and let somebody take care of them, too? There's a few right there. If you travel the country and the world to see, you will see some of them out there, too. Send them to work and extra. Okay, now you go on.
Okay, as I was saying, Sister Soldier, basically.
The premise, as I was saying, I'm waiting, taking you too long.
All these jobs, again, thinking, well, you know, yeah, they're not ideal jobs, okay, but say, for instance, if black men, young black men, okay, we'll pull their money together as opposed to spending on Jordans and whatever rubbish. Okay, use that, okay, buy a few lawnmowers, okay, cut some lawns, basically. You're making money now. Now you have your own service, okay? You've cornered that market. I guess be smarter entrepreneurs as opposed to I want to be a rapper, I want to be this, I want to be that, basically.
Everybody
okay?
don't want to be a rapper or supremacist. That's what you think. That's how they schooled you in school, that we want to be rappers. We want to be everything that's on this planet. In the United States, we are. Everything that's here, we are there.
Ma'am, if you're just...
From engineering to bankers to whatever, doctors and nurses and everything else.
Oh, my God.
So what are you talking about?
Lady,
you don't have any of those?
Could you stop?
All you can speak about is the rappers.
Let's try to get to the point.
That's right. Get to your point, supremacist.
I'm not a supremacist. I'm not a supremacist of anything.
Like.
However, the fact... No,
make,
the fact...
Make him finish,
mate. How about that? Okay? The fact is, okay, you know, learn some skills, okay? You know, value education and such, okay? Why didn't have it as easy as you may think? Basically, a lot, they weren't born rich, but they work hard, okay? I mean, you have the Asians, they work hard, and they've established themselves. Phenomenal people. They're not looking for handouts. Why can't blacks do the same?
Not can't, how are you?
Does it matter?
Yes, it do, because I'm getting ready to read you down the road. Let me tell you, when black people worked, some of them that we see now, they can't get Social Security because they didn't take Social Security out of them. They were scrubbing houses, scrubbing floors, and taking care of people like you. Today they only get SSI because they can't get Social Security. So you remember those days when they used to work and clean your butt and take care of you and get spit on by you and different people? Remember when they were working?
You're referring to slavery, correct?
No, it wasn't slavery.
No.
No, it wasn't slavery. Oh, you want to run back to say, I'm not talking about slavery. I'm talking about the people now that can't even get the same thing that your grandmother got or you get now. If you work hard, 50 cents an hour, that's what they would get paid. Working
all
hard
right.
and slavery.
Okay.
And then
hold
you can
on.
Walk through the back door and not the front door. So I don't know what ship you jumped out for with this crazy crap you're talking about. Somebody don't work and lazy. And then, of course, my husband has 3 white Caucasians in his family. Don't none of them work. All the women work.
Mm.
So what
so
are you
talking
about?
So we got another one on the line
now? No, there are.
Hold
we're
on.
Not around the world.
Yeah. Wait, wait, you said
here
you're
we
on
have,
the
I think okay. we have other people on the
that's
line.
That's a
right?
relevant line that you
yeah.
use.
Okay.
Mace, hold on. Let me bring somebody else in on the conversation. All right. Happy Thursday to you, 313. You're on the air. Can we
hey,
get your name?
Welcome to
please?
A madhouse today.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Alonzo. Hey, I just want to ask, first of all, what is the topic of conversation that's going on today? Can we get something that's back on that so I can figure out exactly what I'm going to say next year? So what is the topic, host?
The supremacist came in with his topic just saying all black men are lazy and we're not educated.
Community from within.
I just say it as it is, honey. I keep it real, as they say in the
whole. Do you know this for a fact? You're just in a corner somewhere driving by looking at people through the television.
No,
now, how many black people do you really know? None.
Hey, I know a lot of
people. Okay, okay.
The topic
all right.
is.
Yeah. All right, the topic so, is. The
so, as they say, don't get it twisted, yeah.
Okay. All right, y'all through now. The topic is destroying our communities from within. And I don't know, how did we get on to what they were talking about, drugs or what?
Yeah, well, yeah, and then we...
Well,
I
want to bring up more issues that's destroying the black community, but apparently you guys want to demonize me for bringing up the truth.
That's not the truth. You, your community is just as good. We're going to try to look at it.
Well,
look.
Slow it down.
We're being woefully ignorant, not wanting to...
Okay,
another example, okay? Now, hold on. Another example, okay? You have all these black celebrities and, you know, basketball, football, whatever, such and such. They make all this money, okay? And then 5 years down the road, they're broke, okay? They're taking that money, okay? Now, I'm not advocating giving people handouts. But if they want to uplift their own community, okay, take a few million, okay, put a
man,
few people, the whole lady, shut your
how
mouth.
How many times has Donald Trump filed bankruptcy?
I'm talking.
Yeah, a couple
you
of times.
How many times has he filed bankruptcy?
Now, he's never been officially bankrupt, but he's been there a few
how
times.
How many times have you filed bankruptcy since you were talking about some handouts?
Well, hold up, you two. Hold up. All right. wow. Well, I mean, we're getting into Donald Trump and all that. But he has a good point, though. There's a lot of instances where, you know, the athletes, you know, they're out there for their own. In fact, there was recently was a young kid who had a scholarship to a college to play ball. But he turned the scholarship down because he wants to be a rapper. I mean, really?
Well,
he go from one extreme to the other.
But I have one thing that I have one thing to say about that. Hold on for just a second.
Okay, go ahead.
I was at a conference where the head of the NCAA actually spoke at the Detroit Economic Club, and this is an amazing statistic. There are 330,000 scholarship athletes in Division I and Division II schools in the United States of America and a very small piece of Canada. Well, let me tell you this. Of those 330,000 athletes, the black athletes who are the football players and who are the basketball players happen to be a very, very, very small percent of those athletes. Most of the other athletes are white, and some of the athletes are Asian. Therefore, if you look at the black community, when you're talking about sports and you're talking about athletics, the fact that you have great black athletes who are football players and basketball players happen to fund the education of more than 300,000 white and non-black people in the United States of America.
Thank you.
Another thing that you have to remember is that a black athlete is typically 20, 22, 23 years old coming out of school. Now, I myself am a professional. I do know that at one time I was 20, 22, 23. If you gave me $3 to $5 million a year at 21, 22, 23, I would spend it up also, and I think most anyone on the phone. So I don't think that's a valid point.
That's true, sir. Not true.
Now,
not true.
It is true.
That is
true.
And also with the athletes, they have places, things that they want to do. They got to go through red tape in order for them to put things in the community, too. Since you know everything about my community and don't know nothing about yours, you need to discuss yours. You want to come down to my community and talk about me? And you don't know nothing about it? Is that what you saw you said on TV?
I'm sorry.
Let me tell you on something else about some athletes. Some of the athletes that's good in what they do, they if they're not the right person, they won't let them shine. They'll push them aside, and then they got to go overseas and play. They can't even play over here. They're good at their skill, and they're good about bringing money into your community, but bringing none into their community. So you always jumping off the just like I said, you jumped off the road. You need to get in the car and come in and stop driving back. Because that's
okay.
What you're doing.
Okay,
can I finish my point? What I was trying to make before I was cut off by Sister Soldier, moderator.
Mr. Primus, keep it up.
Okay, hold up. Wait. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Okay, as I was stating, okay, you know, yes, you pay these people with these extortion amounts of money, you know, just to kick a football or, you know, to shoot some hoops, whatever, okay? There is no rhyme or reason, okay, after 5 years, you're broke. If you were smart, you would take that money, okay? First off, if someone's paying me that much money, I'd buy myself a fucking house in fucking cash, okay? But that's just me. Another thing, okay, take that money, you know, you want to uplift your, you know, your brothers and sisters, quote unquote, take that money, get, you know, give them scholarships, okay, help put a few through schools or help them become better entrepreneurs, okay, as opposed to, you know, want to, you know, rap or whatever and such. Use your money wisely, okay, but no. That's why I'm saying being willfully ignorant, okay, you have all these resources at your
can
disposal.
Can I tell him something since he's rapping a lot of mouth? There are more black
people
than cops in prison.
Wait, Mace.
Okay.
All right. Sir, you finished? Are you finished?
I will. Against my will, I am, because I can't finish my goddamn point.
I think that.
Okay.
He wants the room.
Go ahead, Carlene.
I feel like he's.
Oh, my God.
He's implying that black athletes are to a degree ignorant. I think that you have tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them don't give back. Some of them give back so much it's unreal. Look at Ward Dunn. He gives back tremendously. But then look at on the other hand, look at your athletes as not black. Are they giving back?
No.
You're so busy looking at the forest that you don't see the
trees.
Can't
see the trees.
You don't see what your people are doing or what they are not doing because you're too busy living in a glass house throwing stones at someone else.
Just go ahead and blame the cracker. Blame Honky. Oh, you know.
Whatever you want to be, that's what you are. You want to put the blame in the community to tell the community, what is your community doing?
Well, that's
look
what, that's
look what y'all
doing today.
Wait.
What is your community doing?
That is exactly the discussion is today.
Because of
what
you don't look at the corporate seed. That's why the country is broke.
Okay. We're going to have to slow it down a little bit.
Man, you're going to get taste.
All right. You know, and y'all brought up some great points. And the actual point, somebody made it a minute ago, you know, I think May said it. I think she said, what are they doing inside their community? I'm not worried about that right now. I'm talking about our community, how we're killing it from within. That's what I'm talking about. And I mean, there were some good points made here and there during that little exchange. But what are we doing? We're destroying our own selves from within. And even though many people may not agree with him, in some instances, this man is right. You know,
no,
we do.
Not right.
No, okay. Another issue I wanted to talk about.
Because it is true that some of these young people out here, and even some of the adults, are willfully ignorant to the point that everything is okay within our own community. And they're not taking the chance, the time to learn what it's going to take to get out of the situations that we're in. You know, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Memphis, and you know, they got this big, beautiful university down, you know, right there in the hood. A big, beautiful, but as you ride down the road a little bit, you got buildings where the businesses used to be that boarded up, and look, it's been that way for years. So why is that? You can build a big, beautiful university right there, but yet about two blocks down the street, you got just nothing but closed buildings and ghetto. What is that about?
I guess I hate to say this, sir, but in my opinion, that's progress or slash liberalism, the ideal virtue that people tout in this country. Okay? But that's my opinion. But another thing,
that's
just
we know it is.
I wanted to expound upon was the issue of, okay, teen pregnancy. Now you have to realize. Hold on.
Okay, sir. Before you go there, hold on. Let me bring this other call in. All right. Okay, Miss Lady, you in the house?
Oh, hello. Oh, I'm just listening to this white supremacist who has all the answers. he's really. See, these are the prime example of why things are the way they are for Black African American people in this country and around the world. His role is to distract and to target and point fingers at. And it's to keep promoting that false agenda. That's what his role is.
Okay,
and there's billions of them around all across the world who co-sign and to do it. Listen, sir, life as you've known it is over for you. Your white supremacist privileged life, as you have noted in the past, it's over. It's over for your kids, and it's going to be over for your grandchildren. And look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and look at the person who have created the situation, who have brought it
everybody's
to the system.
In.
Look in the mirror, sir, when your grandchildren can't find adequate jobs and health care and a retirement plan. That's all I have to say. See, you want to continue to point fingers at the small percentage of African Americans don't control anything in this country, and
thank
you know that. They are not CEOs running anything in this
thank
company.
You.
Oh, okay, look.
So, okay.
This is
going to
be another.
This
is
going to
be another whiny.
Okay.
Whiny blanky thing.
I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop this now. Look, everybody. Now. You know, I've been listening and been throwing two cents in. But look, this right here, right now, is the prime example of what I'm talking about. Because whenever we wants to talk, we want to talk about what's going on in our community, some kind of way it gets deflected into a whole umbrella of other things.
Because this you can't divorce it. You cannot divorce it. It's contextual. It's interrelated. So you cannot divorce it. You have to get to the root cause of
root cause of it. That's right.
I think you want to stay surface. Because see, they can say, keep everybody distracted with bullshit.
Yeah. So they can get away with all the things that they get away with because if they clean out their community, it will clean out ours too. Wait a minute, everybody cannot talk at one time. Go ahead, Alonzo.
I think the issue that the host is making is very important, because the truth of the matter is that no matter how we got here, no matter if it's the fault of a white person, no matter if it's the fault of a government, no matter if it's the fault of slavery within the United States, the truth of the matter is that even though that may be the result of it, what we are doing as black people is actually taking that and basically doing that to one another.
So that's
the key point. I'll give you a prime example. I have a son. My son is 20. My son grew up, yes, I'm an educated person. His mother is, my father is, the whole family is. He decided to choose a life of being a gang member and happened to be what they call now a clique boss. Now, he's went out there. He's done his evil in the community, shoot, kill, whatever it is, sell dope, sell drugs. That is nothing that happened to him because of what white people did to him. It's based upon a culture that exists within our community. Yes, it may have started somewhere else. However, he decided to promote and he decided to do that. Now, please listen. He woke up and he recognized to me. He said, Daddy, I figured something out. The things that I was doing was going out there, trying to make fast money, trying to make a name for myself, and I literally almost got myself killed. He took 14 bullets in a car and broke his neck. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that is because he lives within a culture that promotes a gang activity on a block-by-block basis, and he admitted to me that the kids that are on the other block, he hates. Now, he didn't have a reason for hating them. He hated them because he was in this gang type of mentality. And he finally woke up and realized, I can no longer do this because I'm out trying to kill other people when, to tell you the truth, I don't know why I'm trying to kill them, simply because I want to promote a gang culture. Now, he's woken up and he's turned around 360. So we as a black community have to figure out, how do we change our minds, how do we change our spirits so that it doesn't matter what white people do to us anymore or what they have done to us. How do we move forward and stop ourselves from self-destructing?
Now, can I take my turn?
Joe,
wait a minute. Joe, you had something to say. Go ahead. No, Alonzo said it. What I wanted to say was we should speak I like statistics. We should bring facts to the table. Everybody has their own opinion. Everybody has their own experiences. But empirical evidence doesn't mean anything in the face of true statistics if they're properly compiled. So I would rather have people bring in true statistics to talk about whatever it is that they're, you know, their particular topic, you know, that they want to bring to the table today and back up that particular topic. But that's all I wanted to say. But Alonzo said it.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mace.
Okay. I want to talk about the culture that brought the culture in that's in the community. Because what we see in our community is in everybody else's community, but we always want to take blame for what's going on everywhere else. Nobody else complained about their community, but they want to point fingers at ours. But they're doing the same thing. So as I say, when they straighten out their community, we will straighten out ours. Because if you know and you've been in both, just say you was in both communities, and then you see the same thing going on, how do you stand up and tell me is my community doing it? But you always want to sit and say, your community, let's look at it. You got more black men in college than you do in prison. But the media tell you something different, and then you look at the media every day. They're going to show everything that you're doing every day, and that's put in your psyche that you're the only one that's doing wrong on this earth, in this country.
Right,
but everybody else is doing the same thing. When their kids commit crimes, doing drugs,
They go get them out. They do not go to prison. They, they expunge their records. Like all these kids that killed somebody and went and shot up movie theaters and stuff. Their records was expunged for the things they did when they were younger. To keep them from going to jail. But if we did that in our community, we'd be just like them too.
Sister Soldier, okay, so by your logic, okay, say for instance, in whatever community, you know, the teen pregnancy is happening, okay, knowing that that issue is destroying that community, okay, does that make it okay for your community, the black community, to do it? Okay.
No, it doesn't make it okay. But if they both start doing it, why do you be blind to it? Why do you be blind to it?
If you know that ill is basically is what it is, an ill, okay, why would you want to do that? Okay, if I saw a man who used heroin for 15 years, okay, destroyed life, okay, do you think, being that I have, at least half a brain, okay, I would...
What I'm saying, since you're not in our community and you're speaking, what's going on in yours, I would like to know.
The fact is, whether or not, okay, I see it for what it is. Okay.
You see it for what it is, and I see it for what it is in both communities.
Okay, look. Look, it's like this. It's quite known that once we black people get well off and make a lot of money to where we can be a part of the social upper class, we move into those neighborhoods, Mace. Let's be honest.
Yeah, do all of us move into the neighborhoods?
We trying to emulate them. However, while we doing that, we leaving our old neighborhoods or communities in a lurch, because we're not going back trying to educate anybody in the community to help them get to how we got there to our level. No, just stand there. We're not putting anything back, or as they say, paying forward. We're not educating. We're not mentoring our own. That's what I'm talking about. Get out of this neighborhood.
Let me tell you how to break a community down. See, we listen to the media tell us that our communities are so bad and so dangerous that we can't even walk in them. And the kids are so into drugs and doing this. They don't look in the community where you see the people that's living in the community doing things to make the community better. We never see that. We all hear all the bad things. 1%.
You blame the media.
1% of the community is doing this now, but you're going to put the whole community in it?
Okay,
so.
Mace, well, here's the point. Mace, here's the counterpoint. Why are we putting all the onus on the media? Once again, why aren't we educating and training our own? Now,
we do have people doing that. I'm saying you don't talk to them.
I heard something said today that really made sense. You know, and it was, now we know we have plenty of talented black young men, right? And a lot of them are on the corner, you know, slinging. Even if they aren't slinging, you know, they're not doing anything. Why? Because nobody is helping hone that talent and turn it into a skill. So now we have a bunch of young black men that really sees no future, and then what they do, as Alonzo said, you know, his son did. To feel a part of something, well, let me go and join this gang right here. You know, now, that once again, you know, we got them killing each other, robbing from the people in our communities, and then, you know, people are moving out. And when they move out, nobody's moving in because of the culture and what we have set, we have going on in our communities. Of course, there are certain parts of the black community that are doing well. We're talking about the inner city, the ghetto, whatever you want to call it, where the majority of the people live and nobody's educating anybody, nobody's helping anybody because we are too damn stuck up our damn selves to help anyone.
Well, do you know that for a fact? That nobody's in there helping them, and there's nobody in there doing anything. Or just, they're just in there like a bunch of people just stuck together, like the media tell people on the every day.
Eric, am I on?
Yes, you are.
You know what? I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I myself have done a lot. I know so many people. In fact, I just went on a bus trip, and it was to raise money for young children to go to New Orleans to help with the housing there this summer. So that's not true, what you just said. There are plenty of people that are doing what they can against the odds. You know, because let's face it. Black African Americans are under a tremendous more pressure and stressors than other people in this country. And so for them to take their energy, money, and time, the little that they have left to give and to be supportive, that's admirable, and it should be celebrated and respected and appreciated. And that's, you know, so that's not true, what you just said.
Because they have boys' homes and boys' camps and different things for them to do in the summertime, or either if they're bad in school, they'll take them in and make them a better person than the school system did.
Look, to talk about certain pockets
of improvements. Go around the country,
you'll
find these things. But if we don't look for it, we won't see it, and we'll just look at it as if we don't know how to do nothing. We're lazy and we're
not.
Look, overall, do black people have it as good as whites in America?
No, they don't.
Okay, they don't. So if they don't.
Well, actually, hold on. It depends how you say that, sir.
And the question to you, why?
My question would be.
They pay taxes.
All right, but do you still think that Whitey is holding you down?
I never said they was holding me down.
All right. Does anybody here think that Whitey is holding you down?
Absolutely. According to Neely Fuller Jr., the system of racism, white supremacy is working 24/7 to keep black folks in their place.
So in other words, white people are keeping qualified. Wait a minute.
Everybody can't talk at the same time.
And can I finish what I'm saying before I'm interrupted? There's different strategies that are utilized to do that. And they use blacks against each other. In fact,
yes.
There's a whole lot of self-hatred and hatred of other people, but that's because of the system. That's because of the supremacists. It all goes back to racism, white supremacy. Every single problem black people have in this country is due to the system of racism, white supremacy. Now, that's the root cause. How do you get past that and beyond that? Because the system is not going to stop working.
Let me ask you this, the lady, and anybody else. White supremacy, assume it exists to the same degree that everybody assumes that it does, all right? It's supposed to be a very, very...
Hold on.
Everybody has spoken.
I'd like to give my two cents.
Baby, shut your goddamn pie hole. Shit.
Okay. Here's
the
thing.
Oh,
for God's sake.
Come on. I'll mute all y'all. All right, now, go ahead, Joe.
All right. So make the assumption that white supremacy exists to the degree that you want to make it exist. Okay, fine. Let's use that as an element. How is white supremacy keeping kids from not making good marks in school? How is white supremacy keeping qualified graduates of high school and college from getting their jobs? And how is white supremacy keeping people from making the income that they should be making?
Now, can I answer that?
Yep.
Oh,
hold on before you answer
that. Oh, my goodness, that you even asked that question.
Are you posing
the question because you really want the answer, or is it
Miss Lady?
Shut the fuck up.
Can I answer the question, Joe?
You know what? I got to answer
the politics of it and the school system. Your school system is doing it and your politics because they took different things out of the school system when you were not allowing us to read. All right.
I agree. Look, after slavery, I agree that they were blue laws and then they were Jim Crow. But after 1965, that's over 50 years ago. In 50 years, you don't think that black people should have evolved to the point where they should have gotten a little bit better than they are now?
Let me bring somebody else in. Oh, Lord, y'all going on. Renee, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. It's amazing sometimes when I listen to Joe talk because he has not a clue sometimes about real world. You know, black America has been held down so hard for so many years over so many things. How could you even mention that question? How could you even say that question? Yeah, it's been 50 years.
Host.
It's been 50 years since, you know, we were allowed to read or write. But the reality is it's
going
to take us even longer to get it together because, first of all, a lot of these young kids out here today don't even really know about anything about slavery. They don't know about, you know, they don't know about these things because They don't teach it in school.
And neither do the Chinese, or neither do the Chinese when they come over here. Your children how to be not only more responsible, but how to accept education as a stepping stone out of the ghetto.
But, Joe, the ghetto is not about the ghetto. It's the policies that's in the ghetto that's keeping people in the ghetto there.
Okay, name me the policies. Name me the policies.
I did.
Okay, no. I want to know how many qualified blacks, when they go for a job up against qualified whites, are rejected from that job because of racism. Can anybody answer?
That?
Look, Joe, answer.
Majority of them.
Joe, answer.
Joe, why do you think that you have people in court today because of some supervisor did the person wrong, and then you got the courts that ain't even working to get that done because they don't want to have to pay out the money?
Why don't we
people
let Alonzo
answer? People fought for years and years and years, and all because of this.
I'll answer that question in two ways, okay? Essentially, okay, me as a black man going to get a job. Now, the reality of the situation is most of the jobs that I've gotten is simply because of the work that I've done and the hard work that I've put in, and I'm able to put that on a resume, and that's able to be communicated to a recruiter who goes out and recruits me in order to go get another job. But the truth of the matter, Joe, is that in reality, most jobs are given to people based upon friendships and people that they know. So in reality, when you actually go out there in corporate America and get a job, most likely if you're white, you're most likely typically going to hire a friend, a relative, a coworker's friend or relative for that particular position because it's basically who you know. But that's not the true thing that we want to talk about when we look at the black community and how do we get out of it. Because the truth of the matter is no matter how we got here, we've got to figure out a way how to get out of it. So if you look at all the things that are being stated here where you say, okay, hey, you know what, we're in this particular situation because white people have put us here. What Mr. Talk said is incredibly important. I myself am educated. I do very well, but I move black into the inner city. Because I live in the city of Detroit, and Detroit used to have a populace of 2 million people in the city. Now Detroit only has 600,000 people. Most of those people are black. A high majority, over 50% of those people, are poor. So Mr. Talk has an incredibly good point. Because what Martin Luther King finally realized at the end of integration is that you're moving black people who are very successful out into other communities. Think about it. As black people, we really fought for the right to be able to go spend our money in a white community where we really are not loved. Think about that. I want to go out and spend my money in a mall among people that don't even like me. So Mr. Talk has a great point. What us black people really need to do is move back into our community. The doctors, the lawyers, the attorneys, that way we can change the culture. That way I can take the kids down the block that I do now and say, hey, I'm successful. There's a doctor down the block. There's a dentist down the block. Here's how they do it. Here's how we can help you have a scholarship to go to school. We can support you. We as black people have to come back. We should not have integrated into society. We just wanted to be able to work within society. But we've got to come back to the black community because if not, we're basically taking of our resources and we're spreading them thin among communities that really don't want.
As a matter of fact, when I was on a show and I had the same, because I'm always getting involved in this black-white thing. I wish we'd fucking shut up about it. But the thing is that I said back in the 40s and 50s, blacks were better off. And then people said, well, back in the 40s and 50s, we had lynchings and blah, 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 black. Yeah, and I said, I agree. But the thing is, as Alonzo was stating, you had a nuclear family. You had something like only maybe 10% unemployment. People saved money. You had segregation, but you had segregation in which you had your own communities, and you did better.
Hey,
black people aren't doing
shit. You know what? When black people talk about, oh, they're so tired of hearing about the black-white issue, that is a big red flag. They are not pro-African-American. They're pro-themselves, and they're sellouts.
Wait.
That's another strategy that white supremacists use that you black people.
Okay, let me go on a show.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Yes.
Okay.
Joe, I have a question. When they gentrification cities, they take the businesses out of the city and then they come back to the city, they bring all the businesses back. Why does that happen?
Can you say that one more time?
Like, say, you always talk about the inner cities. Some cities where there's gentrification, you know, moving black people out and they're moving back in. But they're bringing all of the businesses back with them when they took them out when they left.
Oh,
why do they do that?
Well, gentrification means they're trying to...
Are we doing it?
Raise the community. Raise mean like in demolishing the buildings to build new buildings in order to bring back higher revenue.
Oh, that's what they're doing it for?
Yeah.
Okay. And so then when you talk about the politicians that we have, they don't serve us.
Oh, you got that right. You have so many black,
you
have right now, black politicians.
No, 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 no.
You've got black politicians who aren't doing shit for your people.
And you got the
you
white
gotta blame,
because you got a
you
whole,
gotta blame,
you got
to blame
whole,
Whitey for that?
You got a whole Senate that ain't none of them even in.
Wait a
that's
minute, you've got black mayors, you got black senators, black congressmen,
okay.
Black
aldermen. And who have to pay
aldermen.
Them, Joe?
Why
who
aren't they
them?
Doing something?
Who have to pay them? And you got...
Okay.
And you got
look, okay, all right.
But
you
who broke the country,
we,
Joe?
We going back and forth here. Here's my take on it, and this is where I stand. You know, yes, we've had our problems with slavery, okay, fine and dandy. We should have learned from that. Now, how long are we going to keep beating that horse? How long are we going to keep beating on that horse? How long are we going to use that as an excuse for why we can't get our neighborhoods and communities together? When are we going to stop using that?
Because the Chamber of Commerce for them cities don't look nice like us. That's sitting on the boards. We don't sit on no boards to direct nothing in no cities.
Once again, I'm going to ask this question again. Now, you said we don't do this and we don't. Why don't we?
We are in the city of Detroit. In the city of Detroit, please listen to me. In the city of Detroit, I live in Detroit. The mayor, all of the city council, has been black for the last 45 years. Okay? All the power, all of the business owners, everyone in the city of Detroit who rules, who's actually in the media, who's on TV, who gives the news, who reports the news, all the newspapers, they're all black.
But
the
Congress is in the same situation Detroit is in.
So, no.
Can you let him finish, Mace?
The city of Detroit, listen to me. In the city of Detroit, there was a huge move back in the 60s and 70s never to pursue education because you could walk into a factory and you could make $50,000 to $100,000 a year without an education. So education has never been a priority in Detroit. And that whole entire time, there were black politicians, there were black leaders, there were black business owners, there was a black media, but it was not important to get an education. But now that the jobs have gone and there are no educations, you hear about the 50% dropout rate in Detroit, but it's always been 50% because we as a black community, we dropped the ball. In other words, we had an entire city, the Motor City, the capital of the automotive industry in the world.
The Motor City anymore. When they was running it, it was the Motor City, and it had things in there to run it. You have educational people in Detroit because you have nurses, you have doctors, because I do know some of them.
But what I'm telling you, is that more than 50% of the kids in Detroit do not graduate from high school. The illiteracy rate in the city of Detroit is more than 50%. So it's not an issue of black nor white in the city of Detroit.
Well, you know why?
That was over with 45 years ago. The issue is that why?
Yes, I'm asking you, do you know why?
Why?
Because they go to the school system, they throw them out of school, and then they put them back in school, they throw them out of school, just like you say your son was in a gang. They put them in school, they throw them out of school,
who's
and then they
throw
them out of school.
Who's they? Throw them out of school, and they bring them, back.
Whoever is over the school system.
No, I talk to people who are in their 60s and who are in their 70s.
No, I'm talking about people that's in their 40s, 30s.
But listen to me.
Teaching
I'm in my
school, in the inner city.
Listen to what I'm telling you, okay? In the city of Detroit, it is the mega of the middle class, the upper middle class. You had people that were making $100,000 a year. Have you ever driven through the city of Detroit and seen the sizes of the beautiful brick homes? You had a very successful middle class in Detroit that was built on the automotive industry. However, education was never important because you could make $100,000 working in an automotive factory. And now that the automotive landscape has switched and you've got competition coming from overseas, you still now have this undereducated population, and now what has taken over is the 80s drug game of crack cocaine. I'm telling you, I live in a house now, and as people die and as people move on and their kids move in because they did not get educated, my community is now becoming a war. I'm telling you right now. I have certain blocks that I can't walk down. That's
what you're talking about, the school system. This school,
most cities that
can
have
I ask you a question?
Sir?
Can
look
I ask
Bernie.
You a question?
The
schools.
Wait a minute, Mace. Go ahead, sir.
As I said, okay, as I think Alonzo, as he's saying, okay, as I wanted to point out before Sister Soldier cut me off, okay, it seems as if where there's a high percentage of blacks, okay, poverty ensues. Prime example, look at Birmingham, look at Memphis, look at Oakland, look at Atlanta to some extent, okay? Now, you're telling me that's Whitey's fault?
Well, can I speak now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Y'all talk about the educational system in Detroit. The educational system of the United States is now at 33. It's not at the top anymore. Something's wrong somewhere with the whole system. So you want to talk about Detroit's educational system, something wrong with the whole educational system here, isn't it? But we don't want to discuss that.
Well, from bad education, okay.
They ain't doing no better. They are not doing no better either.
Well, true, yeah.
And I keep asking you, this country is broke because of who?
I guess that's Whitey's fault,
it's
correct.
It's not broke because of us, of the people that didn't know what they were doing. Is it? And you tell me somebody that was sitting up there when those people, 401Ks, start going away.
But, Mace, I'm a black man.
I'm in the house sitting on the Congress.
Mace, I'm a black man, okay? And I'm going to tell you something right now. I live in the city of Detroit. I do not allow that to define who I am. I don't let the fact that whatever media is out there in the United States of America saying whatever about me, whatever a politician decides, let me make the decision of if I'm going to buy a home or not, how am I going to pay it, what job I'm going to get. I think the issue that we're saying, Mace, is we understand what the problem is. And I agree with you with what has happened to us. But where we want to go as a black people, we don't want to focus anymore on the master and what he's done to us. We don't want to talk about why we're here. What we want
to
talk about
is
how do we move forward?
How you going to go forward when you got somebody standing there to stop you from – let's look at the man, famous Amos, when he had his cookie.
Will you be quiet
so I can explain something?
A little hard to better yourself, okay? Sure. But no, instead, you choose to be – forever.
Thank you. Vernon, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, what is the damn topic, man? what are we supposed to be talking
about here? We are on topic. We just beating around the big part. They got another thing. Destroying our communities from within. That's the topic.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I get sick of seeing my people do what they want to do when they want to do it, and constantly sit there and blame the damn white man. I mean, I know about slavery and all that too. I live in the South, man. You know, it was a time we still kind of felt that stuff when I was growing up. But that shit is, it's time to move forward, man. Ain't nobody holding nobody back now. If you don't like the white man corporate America, damn it, build your own corporate America. If you don't like what's going on. Damn. That's just crazy, man.
And you know what? I agree with you. And you know, his thing, May said, well, who's standing in front of you? Hell, that's like if you're driving and you run into a roadblock, what you do? You just going to stand and say, well, somebody going to come move it eventually. Hell no, you find a way around it. Stop. And like I always say, stop. And I'm going to keep saying it. Stop. Please stop. You know, acting like somebody owe us anything. They don't owe us anything. You know, everybody want to say, well, back in slavery, this, that's fine. That's in the past. What about the present and the future? What are we doing?
That's right.
You know, but
It's time out for the excuses, man.
I mean, because it seems like that's the only thing we keep coming up with, excuse after excuse after excuse. And while we're making all the excuses, our communities are just going to hell. And we are killing them from inside because we're not – okay, May said there's a lot of people helping. Okay, I understand that. But it's not everywhere. You know, it's not everywhere. You know, there's nobody trying to bring resources back into the neighborhoods.
Why is it that in most of your ghettos, kids learn rap songs and how to twerk and all that stuff there before they learn things that's gonna help them out in the future? Is that the white man's fault? is that the white man's fault too? Hmm?
No, it's
that's
not
white
the white
man's
fault.
It ain't the white man's fault, man. Black people need to wake up. And realize the only thing that got us down now is our own selves, man. We are our own big problem right now.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with that. Yeah, and that's my point I'm trying to make today. You know, we are destroying ourselves from within. You know, as we started talking, you know, as you know, everything started going here and there. Now we're in a whole big umbrella. When we should be right at the bottom, the root end, trying to figure out what is going on. Why are we allowing Indians and other ethnic groups to move in our community, set up shop, and make money? And, you know, why? When we have some of the same people right there that can do that. But we're not educating them. We're not, man, I'm telling you. And you know, I'm a big family man. So, and that's a lot of problem. The foundation is broken. Like you build any house, if the foundation is no good, then your house is going to fall.
That's right.
You know, everybody talking about the political leaders. Screw the political leaders. It's not that hard. Only thing you need to do is put in the work. You know, goddamn mentor some of these young men. Get out there and mentor some of these young ladies. It's not hard. We rather buy buying our big cars and everything, and just
y'all
you know, you know, we just rather ride by in our big cars and you know, flash and wave. You know, yeah, I got mine. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, as you roll out. No, it shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. That's all I'm saying. Ooh, that was a lot.
You
know.
I agree with you, Mr. Talk, and I honestly think that one of the solutions, and this is what I'm a true believer in, you've got to change the way people think and you've got to change their spirit. So you've got to do things like you've got to take the young children, you've got to just simply say, hey, I want you to write a 50-word essay on why is education important to me?
Okay.
Why is loving my neighbor and taking care of my neighborhood important to me? Because that's going to start making them think about something else, and that's going to start changing their mindset. That's going to start changing their spirits. I think that's what we need. We just simply need to ask one another, what can we do as an individual? Why is education important to me? Why is loving my brother important to me? Why is having a strong family important to me? And I think we need to take that and be the mantra of our community. There are certain things that are not acceptable in other communities. For example, if you look at the Indian population, I'm talking about the Indian
Native
population.
Native Americans,
they're
not Indian, they're Native Americans.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about the Indian population that comes from
Native
India.
Native Americans.
Well, I'm talking about the India population that comes
from
India,
okay.
From Asia, okay?
I have a
they have a mantra that essentially says that, listen, you first want to be a doctor. If you can't be a doctor, you want to be an attorney. If you can't be an attorney, you want to go into investment banking. If you don't get investment banking, and I sat there and I talked with some of my coworkers.
That's not all they do.
But just listen to me.
You
what I'm saying is that what I'm saying is that's the standard. That is what they go for. So in other words, we need to have mantras in our community. If you are a black man, this is what you do. This is what you don't do. Those are acceptable standards that we need to have, that we need to establish. We need to communicate, and we need to ask our children. We need to ask our adults. We need to ask, what do we want? But we can't keep looking at other communities and seeing what they do. We've got to take our talents and our skills and our abilities, and we've got to do the best with those that we have. For instance, we should take all of our great black athletes, and we should create high schools and a school system that is built around athletics and entertainment. Because we're the best at it in the world. And we should say you can be sports medicine. You can be a statistician who takes care of stats. You can be a person that learns how to run the business. You can be a person that learns how to write the contracts. You can be a person that learns how to do the stadiums, the advertising, things of that sort. We've got to take what we're great at and do that and stand behind that. But we can no longer look at other communities. We just can't.
I so agree. education is our most important thing that we can do. But it also, we have to lead by example. We're not leading by example in all of these different communities. So, therefore, we want to take care of ourselves instead of getting out there and taking care of other people in the world. I mean, it's so easy to volunteer your time to do something to help somebody out other than just sit on your sofa and watch TV. It's so much easier to get out there and talk to the kids and interact with the kids and volunteer at your local sports events and, you know, keep the stats and, you know, get to know your community. We as African Americans tend not to do that. And so you see us out there playing all the sports, but you don't see the parents involved in teaching the kids how to do what they need to do. And we need to do that so that they know that, that volunteerism is the way of the future. And once you volunteer your time and your energy and your money, then you will be so blessed. You'll be so fulfilled because you will see those kids grow up, come back to their communities and do good by the kids in their communities. And we need to start teaching our children how to do that while they're small. When they become men and grown women, that they do those things with their kids. And we have to stop. We have to stop giving excuses on why our communities are not succeeding, because it's so easy to succeed and it's hard to fail.
Okay, can I speak now?
Yes, you can.
Okay, well, what I did in the community, in the inner city community, I took people from all different countries, took them into a community, the kids that hadn't seen people look like them, so they could work to see something different and see what they were doing. That's why I say America's number 33 in the country. So when you take kids to see something different and an opportunity to deal with other people besides themselves, and they come in and they learn how to speak their languages and do different things like that, and then they keep their money in their community and stop taking care of other people with it, that's when the community going to change. But if we're going to sit here and talk about driving in the pretty car and what the sports people need to do, it's not about the sports people. It's about the people that's in the community. Once they keep their money in their community and make things grow, you don't have to worry about the community that's around you, because they're going to come and burn it down after you put it back up anyway. So that's what needs to be done in the community. Put your money in your pocket and stop taking care of other people with it. And then to surround yourself with something different, learn something about somebody that you don't even like and hate, and you will get a better understanding in your community, and that's why everything can come in ours and do what they want to do.
You know what, Mace, you said something right there, and yeah, I don't think you realize what you just said. You mentioned that word hate. You know,
and
you know what? We are some of the most self-hating people there is. You know,
I know
a lot of people
that
call it crabs in a barrel. What you mean you don't know about all that?
Because the people that I mean,
we will destroy each other.
If you're in one place, that's all
anything.
You see.
We think one is getting ahead of us.
No,
so,
I'm not that type of a person, so I don't know how to.
You
I don't
may
have
not be that type of person. Okay, you may not be. I'm not that type of person.
That's what I'm saying. So,
But that's fine and dandy. We just two people. But let's
but
take a look.
Like that,
let's take
them.
A look at the rest of what's going on. You know, we've been stuck in the little barrel for so freaking long. As soon as we see one person start climbing, we want to pull them back in. Now, for the ones that get out, like we said before, they're gone. They're not coming back to the barrel. You know, so if we were smart, we would build like a ladder inside the barrel. This is just an example. And we would help each other get out and make a best community for ourselves. You know, continue to build on our communities. But that's not what we do. We're in this big time. It's like a big cylinder. And all of us on top of each other. And we every time one get up to the thing, we pull them back down. We pull them back down. Then another get up, pull them back down. One get out here, one get out there. And everybody's hiding in. You know, but yes, we just still leave the rest back there pulling, and it don't come back.
Well, if everybody didn't leave the community, some people are still in the community and working in the community to try to make a change, but then they fighting against the system, and then they fighting to try to help the people, and then you try to think to make changes in the community. It's
what's
like Samuel Amos when he was doing his
against?
Cookies.
What's
when
the
he was doing his cookies,
against?
He can't even sell his cookies with his name on it anymore.
I think what Mace is saying is this, I think there's two points to be made. I think, Mace, I think the issue is, and I've done it before, okay? I've gone out there, I've taken kids, I've walked
the ballpark.
I'm not afraid
of my community. That's what
I'm
saying. Some of us are.
And I've taken kids and tried to teach them how to read and been successful at that. But I think the issue is this, is that we as black people tend to do things in an anecdotal, I'm going to do one thing, you do another thing type of way. And what happens is, makes you go out there and you do incredibly great things for the community. I go out there and do incredibly great things for the community. But the power is actually in building that ladder that Mr. Talk talked about, where we combine our resources. So one day, Mace, if you cannot teach and train because you just might be tired, then I can step in your place and teach and train, and we can have a collective pool of money that we can all use in order to help people out. It's, for instance, when you look in the black community, you see a lot of businesses that fall. But the reason why they fall is because typically they believe in what you call entrepreneurial, whatever it is, that one person can go out and build a business by themselves, do all of the work, buy all of the inventory, sell everything, and make money. But the reality is, if you try to do that, that business is more likely to fail than if you had a corporate business that has, let's just say, 500 locations across the United States. Let's just say all of our barbershops and our beauty salons. If they were owned by one corporation, then if one falls and doesn't do so good, that business doesn't go defunct. It doesn't go dark. It isn't boarded up. It doesn't make the community look bad, because there are 499 other businesses out there under the same corporate umbrella that will actually help that other business out. We just have to come together collectively and do things. We can't be individuals and go out and try to save our community. We got to come together. I think that's a huge point, and I think that's the ladder that's going to help get us out.
Well, I think our community could save all the other communities because of the way we do business. But if, as long as our money is out there and somebody is taking it in and we're not spending, keeping it in our community and it's going out, the community is never going to go anywhere.
No,
that's the problem,
George. No,
because we take care of other people with our
that's
money.
A false argument. That's an argument you and that poll always use.
Would you be happy if we kept our money within our communities and not spend it outside?
Look, in order to keep your money within your community, you have to make it. In order to make it,
make money.
You don't make money to the same degree that anybody else in America does.
Why don't they?
Well, that's my question to you. That's what the topic is of the show today.
I'm asking you, why don't they make money like everybody? What is what I'm saying?
Because you don't have employable skills. You don't graduate high school to the same degree as everybody else. And when you do, when you go to college, you need remedial more than anybody else.
Why?
Okay, that's my question
to
you. Why?
Then you remedial because the
system
is not teaching
you
and you don't have the book?
So, in let's say Compton, Harlem, or any other places which are predominantly black, somehow whitey is to blame.
Compton
for
has, can say Harlem with the private schools. Let's go to the private schools that we own and run, where the children are aspiring above you and everybody else. But then they want to close them down. But
who's
then what
they?
Happens when things like that happen?
Who's they?
Chamber of Commerce and people that ruin the roads.
The Chamber of Commerce wants to
close
down.
And a lot of our kids go to homeschooling now because they don't like it.
Which is better anyway.
Homeschooling,
a lot of kids who graduate.
Well, we don't do that. Don't let you tell it. We don't have homeschooling. How many of us in high school?
So how's that a fault of whitey?
What? That's why they don't keep statistics on that. It's not a fault of whitey because whitey don't have anything to do with us putting our kids in homeschooling.
Well, then you can't blame whitey. Whitey has nothing to do with it.
But who wrote the books and all of the things that the kids have to...
Yeah, but you're doing about... Okay, you're talking about homeschooling.
The
black kids are reading the same textbooks as white kids.
You can go to the inner city school and you go to the suburb, there's a whole different school system within it. And then you turn around and
what's
say that they don't graduate and they don't do this.
Wait a minute, what's different about it?
Okay, wait a minute.
Difference?
Before we go any further, Mace, let me ask you a question.
What's that?
What happened to teaching your kids at home also? What happens if you're involved in your kids' education?
That's what I'm saying. If you're involved in your children's education, they'll do better. Because the CNSA method. Have you ever read the book that Johnny Can't Read?
Yeah, by Gatto, I think, right?
Excuse me?
Isn't it by Gatto? Isn't that the author?
Who do you think wrote that book?
I don't know. Who?
And then there's a book called Different and Wonderful.
I don't know about that one.
Excuse me?
I don't know about that one.
It was a black man that wrote
it. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. But anyway, so why he can't read is that's the problem why he can't read. So
what's
the
problem?
If black people... What?
What's the problem? Why can't Johnny read?
The problem with education system. Because he's not reading. He's reading on the CNSA method. He's not reading with phonics. See, that's how we learned how to read, to break words down so we can know how to spell them, and then we can read. But then the system that they came up with now, just like they
Holy
wanted to change
shit.
The book system
now
in Texas.
I've heard everything.
Listen, Joe, when they wanted to change the system in Texas, we weren't trying to do
sake.
That.
Wait a minute, Mace. You're telling me that because in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
No. I'm talking about this method that they have now is CNSA. If you can't, with the CNSA method, you're not going to learn how to read.
Wait a minute. Black kids are only learning the CFA method, and white kids are learning a different method of reading.
Whoa.
I said the reason why the system is the way it is today, because they took the fun.
Okay, we still dealing with this. It's the system problem. No, it's not the system problem. It's the parents' problem, because the parents not sitting down to take the time to teach the kids how to read. Hell, what's this about the system? Hell, once again, we blaming somebody else for what's killing our own community. That's what I'm talking about. But yet, it's the system, because of the books and what they have in place to teach them now. But what about the parents? What about at home? Who's helping the neighbor mentoring something?
As a matter of fact, Mace, I'll give you an example of this. And I've taught kids how to read because I've built reading programs, okay? One of the biggest things that is very hard for a young black child to read is simply the type of conversation that they have at home. Now, here's the reality of it. Because when you have that conversation and you see that word or you hear that word, okay, if you're teaching a kid phonetically by phonics, a lot of times the kid has never actually heard the phonic pronunciation of the word that he sees. So in other words, let's say if he looks at the word, let's just say transportation. If he's never heard anybody ever say that correctly, he won't even understand what the word is, even if he reads it phonetically. I've known it. So if you look at, let's say you look at young black girls, right? Young black girls actually do better in reading and writing. Why? Because young black girls, like all girls, happen to do a lot more conversating, all right? That's what they do. If you aren't in the home and you aren't having intelligent type of conversations and you aren't speaking proper English in the home, it's that much more harder for a young child to learn how to read phonetically, or whether it is see a word, because they've never actually heard the word pronounced correctly. I'm telling you that simply because I've taught a lot of kids to read.
It's like teaching to the test. They teach to the test. They don't even bring books home anymore. They're teaching to the test. That's part of the problem. And when you're saying see and you say, you're looking at the word and you're seeing and you're saying it. Looking at the word over and over again. When it comes to phonics, you're sounding out the word. And because if you're looking at a word and you're looking at A, it means nothing to you, because A is not a phonics, is not a sound. A is just a letter.
But what Mr. Talk is saying is that in order to solve the problem at home, we as black people have to start having more conversations with our children that are intelligent conversations that basically pronounce the words correctly. For instance, if you look at any of the TV shows, or you listen to kids actually talk now, or you watch the way that kids text, they don't use proper English. So therefore, when they even see the word, they don't even know what the word is. I'm telling you right now.
We won't go with proper English. I'm saying where you did this experiment with two babies. One did the CNC and one did the phonics. The one that did the phonics was reading. And the one that did the CNC, they just looked at pictures and they saw the picture and they said what it was.
I'm not arguing.
Airplane. And the one that broke it down in phonics was reading.
I'm not arguing.
Had no problem
about
with spelling, had no problem with none of those things.
I'm not arguing. Alonzo, you can talk to that woman till you turn blue in the face, man. If she want to blame the white man, she's going to blame it. She's going to do that. I don't care how much you explain to her. She got her marriage. It's the white man's fault, man. You might well give up.
All right. Hold on. Let's bring Kat in. Hey, Kat, you're in the air.
Well, wow. Well, I might say some very controversial things and throw a light onto a fire already got gasoline poured on it. But what happened in our educational system was in the 60s, there were evaluations done on teaching methods in some of the most successful schools in this nation. And it was decided that the teaching methods were very much antiquated. But those teaching methods back then taught a very classical liberal arts type education with heavy emphasis on languages and science and math, and especially literature. So in elementary school, you got a lot of literature in what we called junior high back then. There was a lot of emphasis on literature. And I went to school at a time when I was in the seventh grade is when schools were integrated. So we had blacks and whites. We only had one high school, only one junior high school, but we had lots and lots of elementary schools. So when blacks were integrated, I was in the seventh grade. So I was in middle school, and the blacks that came to middle school were very competitive with us. I think one of the worst things that's ever been hoisted on the American education system is the idea of phonics, that people are too stupid to understand words, to understand letters, and to make sounds, so they have to be spelt the way they're pronounced. So that has that dumbed people down right there. And to say because a black child hears something at home pronounced one way, they don't understand the way it's pronounced and what it means in public school is pure, utter bullshit. When I was in, when we learned Shakespeare, the way language is put together in that Elizabethan language, it's very difficult to understand. But when you start studying Shakespeare, you get into the flow of it and you learn it. I mean, to say that we can learn Spanish, we can learn French, but we can do that easily. But to say that English and phonics are related, it's just stupid. You guys need to read a book called The Closing of the American Mind by Alan Bloom. And when he wrote it, it was very controversial because it was said that it was racist. But that book showed the hypocrisy of teaching to the test and going back to what happened was we just lowered expectations. And the reason that people went to homeschool, my granddaughters were homeschooled through third grade. And they went into public school. One is in private school, one's in public school. They're doing great. They didn't miss anything. And as far as my children are concerned, my children went to private school and public school, but they also got an education at home. They had to read. They had to know spelling. I taught them math. It was more advanced than what they were learning. Because when my boys said they were bored, they had a choice of either writing something, studying something, or vacuuming or cleaning the bathroom. I didn't put up with that. I was pretty strict about that. And my children knew that what leisure time was, they had to earn it. They weren't just allowed to come home and sit in front of the TV and be babysat by the TV or
Hello.
Video games.
Is she finished? Can I tell her something? My daughter never went to kindergarten. She was tested because she was on the phonics system. She's a nurse now. But she went to school on the phonics system. She was tested. She finished at 16. And her friends around her all did the same thing. One is a lawyer now. Another was a nurse, one's a doctor, and all around, you know, they finished at 16 and went off to college. And they all went on the phonics system. So,
I bet you that when they got in college, they got in high school, and they got in college, no tests that they took, their SAT, LSAT, and all those tests were not in phonics. And I'll guarantee you in law school, you didn't learn phonics. There's a lot of Latin.
All they do is break the word down so you can pronounce it.
The
and it makes you a great speller and all of that stuff. So what are you talking about?
Well, that's done in the first grade when you're doing A, B, C, D,
but you're just
E,
not A,
F,
B, C. It's abacadabra. It's not an A because A is not the sound to spelling nothing.
The issue
now,
is
you
that
me,
when you're putting that in words like
Abe,
take, bake,
is A.
It is.
A at is not spelled with an A. It's spelled with an A, but it's not sound with an A. Is it, Joe?
What, at?
Now,
no.
Say at. Yes, at. Mm-hmm. It's a phonic sound, right, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not an A sound.
Okay.
So you're learning your ABCs is not.
Yeah, but you also learn the
ABCs.
So you also learn the exceptions
ABCs
to the rule, too.
Well, yes, the exceptions to the rules. That's why I say. That's why America's at 33 today.
Not
because of this educational system that
it's
they have.
It's because they've dumbed down all of them.
They used to be number one.
We used to be number one. They've dumbed down
as a matter.
Yeah,
used to be number one, but not anymore.
I know. I'm
so
saying,
some other
yeah.
country. So what we need to do is get with that country that's number one and see what they're doing to educate our children or find one of them so they can be number one with
why
them.
Why don't we go,
that
we've back?
Been, that
why don't we go back?
Well,
Look,
it's like this. We don't need to go to no other country. We don't
you
need to find nobody who
rushes.
Only thing we need to do is become more involved in our kids' education. We as the parents. This is what
it's involved
the,
now.
Oh,
explain
that. I mean,
going to the PTA meeting.
You need to go there too. But no, you sit down
you
with your child. You sit down with your
I
child, and you make sure that your child reads. Then you sit right there and make sure they're pronouncing things right. You are the parent.
Well,
That's what I'm saying, the parents. That's what I said. I help other people's kids to get to where the kids that I know.
So if that's the case, why are we going to another country?
I said if they're number one, so I said you need to get to learn their language so you can get to where to see what they're doing. So you can be one and leave.
Now,
and not
the solution he already gave. That's
so if there's something in the system is wrong.
Parents take care of the kids.
Why do we have
personal responsibility.
Well, we have
other
countries. We should just keep them at home then if that's the case.
Now, Mace, now you're talking about going to other countries now. Are you going to be willing to do some of the things that the other countries do to get to that point?
Oh, yes, I've been to other countries, so it wouldn't be no problem.
They don't get a chance to do a lot of the bullshit. They kids don't get a chance to do all the bullshit that our kids get to do.
I'm saying.
Like all this negotiating with kids in school and stuff. Ain't none of that going on.
Yeah. Well, y'all hold on.
Do you know what other people do? Because some of them just leave our front yard, and that's as full
as we go. Yeah, I got another caller.
Okay.
I got another caller. 404, you on the air. Thank you for joining us. Can we get your name, please?
Carlene.
Oh, Carlene. Okay, you changed your number or something?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that parents have to take responsibility and have to be accountable for their own children.
Thank you.
In education, it needs to be a joint effort between the parent and the child and the teacher. The children spend more time with the teacher, but without the parent's help, we can't do anything.
Right. Absolutely. I agree.
I have been presenting that as a solution for everything for a long time, and people say, yeah, but they never seem to just go right out and do it.
You're responsible for their food. You're responsible for their medical care. Why aren't you responsible for their education, too?
Physiological and their emotional development, and teaching them how to become responsible and teaching them that life doesn't guarantee you shit. You got to go out there and struggle for it.
Carlene, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
I agree with you 100%, but for our people, it's a whole lot easier to say it's them damn white teachers down there at that school fault.
Well, I think that is, and I'm speaking from an educator's point of view, I think that is
part of
it. Schools need to involve the parents. Oftentimes, parents feel like they don't know, and they can't help the students with their, say, their math. But if the schools start doing GED preparation, involve the students, make it a joint effort. It's our students, the parents, and the teachers. Then I think the parent will feel more equipped to help their students.
Well, Carlene, you know, you said something really important there, and I don't think a lot of people realize this. You say the parents feel like they can't do it. You know why? Because the parents, we as parents, we stop educating ourselves. Once we reach a certain level, we feel like we know, okay, we good. We don't need to know anymore, you know.
Exactly.
And we stop educating ourselves. Now, as the math and everything else progresses in your child's school, you still stuck on old school math because you're not trying to improve, you know, any of that, your educational right now, because you think you have reached the summit of where you want to be. But as far
exactly.
as education, we should constantly be trying to educate ourselves as adults so we can be more of a advantage for our kids. When they have trouble, they can trust us and say, Mom, Dad, I have this problem right here. Can you help me? You know, and there shouldn't be nothing that besides death or hospital that you can't say, okay, let's sit down and take a look at this. And I mean that, and even if you don't know, that's no excuse. You have the internet now, the World Wide Web, you know. But the only thing most of us get on the World Wide Web and do is what? Go on Facebook and play little crazy games.
Well, I have
you
to
know,
go.
So that's important.
Well, I have to go, and
okay,
it was nice chatting with y'all today.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to find out this educational system that we have in America. It needs to be changed. Don't you talk about the kids in the inner city? And the ones in the server all riding the same boat. That's what I say, and y'all have a good day.
Well,
all right.
I think one of the other issues in education is this, and I think a lot of people kind of, I like what we're hearing. I think the one thing that's important about education, the key is attitude. Mm-hmm. If you look at the military, changing a person's attitude towards something really determines if they're going to go into a classroom and learn or not. And the reason why I say that is because right here in the city of Detroit, you can get people who come from a foreign country and who can go to a Detroit public school where there are many problems. And they can actually be very successful in a Detroit public school, go off to a college or university, and turn out to be doctors and lawyers. I think the issue is when you go into the classroom as a student, or if you're a parent, you have to have an attitude towards education. You have to make that decision that education is important, and no matter what I'm going to do, and if I'm a parent and I can't do the problem, just as you say, Mr. Talk, then maybe mm-hmm. my neighbor can do it, or maybe I can get a tutor. But when you go to school, we're going to figure this out. You're going to get that education.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And that's what I've been saying also for as long as I've been on Blog Talk. I said, make education a priority like the freaking Jews and the freaking Asians. Jesus. It's just, maybe it's less than 10 words, but the solution is that.
It's just that.
Yeah. You know, I don't think if you go to Japan, they're teaching their children phonics.
Well, I don't know if they are or not, but the thing is.
They're not.
You know, I know. What's that?
Oh,
but they may not be teaching their children phonics, but the entire attitude of education is different. For instance, in the United States, for instance, most kids, whether they are black or white, do not go and get an education just to understand that learning, understanding how to learn, is something that's going to improve your life. The main objective is, can I get out of college and get a job? That's not a good positive attitude towards education. If you go to other countries, an attitude towards education is completely different than in the U.S. And in the black community, an attitude towards education is a completely different thing. We have to change the attitude. Education has to be important. No matter what, you're getting your homework done. No matter how you do it, whether you learn to read phonetically or whether you need to learn by CNC or if you go to a good school or a bad school, if you go to a one-room schoolhouse, if you go to the most technologically advanced school in the system, get an education.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Kat.
Well, you know, in the 90s, corporate America was hiring people with liberal arts degrees because they needed that another perspective in maintaining a certain type of culture and so they could grow. And now people, corporate America is not doing that so much. So the whole idea, the liberal arts degree now is so unmarketable. It was just different when times were booming. And I worked for a major semiconductor manufacturer, and it was that way. The people that I worked for were hiring these liberal arts degrees, and it just added a different perspective to how business was done. Their input was as important as someone who was technical or business savvy. And today, people with liberal arts degrees, it's very difficult to get a job. I mean, I'm telling you, I live in a very progressive city. It's very liberal, and you find educated people all the time working as receptionists and secretaries, administrative assistants. So they're at the lower end. We have lawyers here who have their license. They're working as paralegals. So
The lawyers are looking to get paralegal jobs?
They do have paralegal jobs. They're we have so many lawyers here. A lot. We have and I know one actually at work, but they open up. They're called. They're more like called law boutiques where they specialize so much. So here is a paralegal. You can make $80,000 to $90,000 if you're an excellent paralegal and you work for one of these firms.
Well, paralegals. Years and years ago, you could get your certificate and you can start off with $30 an hour.
Well, but here you have to have a degree in paralegal. I mean, it's not just you either have to have a degree and go for a paralegal.
What's that, a 2-year degree?
No, a 4-year degree.
4 years together. Really? Okay.
Yeah. What you do is they want people who have a 4-year degree, and then you go get your paralegal certificate. So it's almost akin to going to law school. I mean, a lot, not everybody's going to get into law school, but a lot of people are going to, I live in Austin, Texas, and a lot of people want to live here, and they'll use their education to get whatever type of job they can get.
Of course.
So,
I mean, yeah.
But something that's happening here in East Austin is where it used to be, you know, there were black sections and Hispanic sections. Well, more and more of the black sections, I mean, like, people don't understand where the blacks are going because the poor black sections are being taken over, they're selling out or something. So it's not just gentrification, it's actually people moving in there. And they, I mean, as you know, this is a real hippie-type town, and so there's a lot of small businesses going up. They're taking these streets and they're rezoning them business so people have homes and everything there. Well, they're taking their homes or other people are moving in, and they'll grow a lot of food there, and they sell that food to the local restaurants who promote organic, you know, their cuisine is organic. So there's a lot of entrepreneurship like that going on here, and people are successful. They're making money. Anyway,
you know, Kate, you did bring up some good points, but you also have to look at where you're talking about. You have the University of Texas right there in the mix of everything, you know, so that has a lot to do with it.
People come here and go to school and they don't want to leave.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, what you said makes sense as far as the education. Yeah, it doesn't matter, you know. But before we get even to that point, we have to work on the foundation. Now, what we're talking about is good. We're talking about is good, but we need to work on the foundation because, and this is why I'm saying this, if you take the foundation and make sure it's strong, you know, that you have a parent or parents. Now, a lot of people say single parents, you know, household, you know, is part of the reason. I don't know, because I know a lot of single parent women and fathers that have raised, you know, kids. And they're mannerable, they're not in a gang, anything like that. They may be the exception to the rule, but, you know, if that foundation is there and is strong, you know, you don't have the parents that's out there in the club every night the club is open, you know, leaving the kid home to watch Disney Channel or whatever, or the grandmama, you know, she out in the club with the daughter, you know, smoking weed and drinking and cussing and everything in front of the kid. You know,
why do you think the foundation isn't there?
Because in a lot of cases it's not there, Joe.
I know, but that's what I'm asking. Why do you think it's not there?
Well, a lot of them are young to know what a foundation is all about. Because a lot of them didn't have a solid foundation when they were growing up. You know, as you say, by example, you have to lead by example. If you don't have an example, then you have to kind of sort of figure out things by yourself. Hopefully, now there is someone in your social circle or in your family that will take you under their wing and say, no, darling, this is what you need to do. This is how you do this. You know, then you have something to work with. But if you don't have any example at all, then, you know, you just...
What example do you mean? Because if you're talking about single mothers, okay, I think something like 59% of people in the black community have kids out of wedlock. So I think 59% of blacks have, you know, single daddy mama issues. So, but even if you don't have a father in the house, why can't the mother sit down with the kid and help the kid with his homework?
Well, Joy,
because. You have children having children. If the mother is 12.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay, all right.
And she has a child.
Okay.
She can't help anyone.
But,
yeah.
She can't help herself.
Even with that, what you just said, why instead of that parent that's a child, instead of them going ahead and applying themselves to try to make a strong foundation in the household, why do they want to point the finger at someone else for their child not succeeding, doing what they're supposed to do?
since it's easier to blame someone else than it is to blame yourself.
That's what I've been saying all day.
Yeah, you have.
It's easier to blame, point your finger at somebody else than it is to point your finger at yourself. You got to have that foundation in the home first. You got to send something. You got to send this child out there in a position where that teacher, educator, whoever it might be, so they're in a position where they can at least work with them. If they're not even in a position where they can work with them, then that's a failure already.
Here's something I want to know. I've talked to blacks who are old, and I've talked to people on Black Talk Radio, and I've done some research, and it seems to me, as I said about, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half ago, black people, even though Jim Crow was really prevalent in the South, but it wasn't that prevalent in the North. There was forced integration, so blacks had to live amongst their own, you know, within their own neighborhood, and weren't really they weren't being hired too much outside of their own community and everything. But you had a nuclear family. You had only like 10% out of wedlock rate. You had only maybe 8-9% unemployment. You had people saving money. You had doctors and lawyers. But then after the 60s, when civil rights came in, it seems to me that black people did not gain any kind of real benefit from the civil rights agenda, and black people are worse off now than back in the 50s, or am I wrong?
You're 100% right.
I'm right?
Yeah, you're right.
I think you're 100% right, because I think what Mr. Talk is saying is that the foundation is the family, and you see the breakdown of the black family after the civil rights movement. And I think what's also important is that if you do have a family, a father and a mother and a home, it's a lot easier to raise a child and to make sure the child is educated. If you have a single mother who is essentially raising a child, or a single father, they're working till 5 or 6 o'clock at night. They're not necessarily home when the child gets home. The child then, therefore, is out, you know, with the culture of the streets.
Right.
And it's much more difficult for a single parent household to. It can be done. There's exceptions to the rule, but it's much
I was gonna ask
more
you
harder.
That. I was going to ask you about that. If you, I can see, because what you just said now makes a lot of sense. If you don't have the time because you're trying to bring in an income from a single parent perspective, and now you don't have much time with the kid, I can see that. But I was also going to say, what if you did have a nuclear family, but the wife is a piece of shit, and the husband's a piece of shit. The kid is still going to be a piece of
shit. Well, not necessarily, Joe. Not necessarily.
No? Okay.
And here's why I'm saying that. You know, we're talking about the family, the foundation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully in that type of situation, there's a part of their family that's not, you know, the immediate one, but someone, you know, in that family that say, look, are we going to go ahead and, you know, make sure the child is educated and what have you. You're going to take in and take that spot.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And hopefully, at the same time, wake those two parents up and say, y'all need to do better. If y'all need help, let us know. You know, a lot of people don't know unless you ask them, because they don't ask for help. But the other thing is, you know, that's part of that foundation that I was talking about. You know, if you, you know, a lot of cases, if you haven't had that foundation growing up, then once you become a parent, you have no idea what the foundation is. See what I'm saying? So somewhere in the nuclear family, or, you know, the big family picture, there should be someone there that can pick up the mantle and keep going with this child. Now, I know a lot of times we as blacks, we rather turn our head and look the other way and talk about them more than try and help. But hopefully there's someone there that wants to mentor that child and get that child on the right track. I'm sorry, who was saying something?
Back in the day when the entire family, when it took a village to raise a child.
Right.
And when mom and dad didn't have their stuff together, there was grandma there that to lead them. There was some family member to lead them. But many of our kids,
exactly,
as I said earlier, when babies have babies and mama's 12 and grandma is 25, 30, who's going to teach who? There's no one to do any teaching.
There's nobody with wisdom,
But I think that there's something that we're dancing around here, too. And I believe in personal responsibility and taking care of your children and making sure that they're, you know, productive and good members of society and all that and respectful. But on the other hand, we do have a system in this country where drug laws are administered very unfairly. Well, there aren't the drug laws are bad, so we have a big population of black men in prison. They're not there. That puts a burden on everybody because then that woman is not getting any child support. She has to go on food stamps. She has to get Medicaid for her kids. So you're creating a situation where it pays the woman just to have children and not get married, especially if the man's in prison.
Well,
there's a lot of problems with society. We can't just dump this on the black community. Society is structured today not to really support the black family.
Well, that's true. It's by design.
Well, it is by design,
and nobody, you know, and I'm a white person, and I would love to have this discussion with different race people, and they would understand this, that there is this racism in our judicial system. We can't look. I live in Texas. They just, who's that, Barry Scheck? I don't even know the number of black men down here that have had life in prison or have had their sentences overturned because it was found out they were not guilty at all. DNA exonerated them.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're talking about the justice system, that's true. I mean, it's skewed towards in favor of whites, and black people will still get the short end of the stick, for sure. They don't get it because usually they have public defenders, and public defenders really don't give a crap.
Or manufactured evidence or the drug laws that are unfair. Mm. You know something? Gosh, you know, when I moved to Austin, I didn't know anybody who did coke. I mean, I knew people who smoked pot, but I had never in my life known anybody personally who did coke. And when I moved here as a single mother and I worked and I got my residency and I went to college, my professors did coke. Do you think they will ever go to prison? The coke is huge down here. I mean, but you don't see any of these white people going to prison over it down here.
Yeah, that may be because of the agenda of filling up the privately owned prisons. I've always maintained for the last few years that our corrupt government is hell-bent on an agenda to destroy America from within. And the first people that they're going to do it to will, of course, be black people, you know.
Well,
I bet my people on here are surprised to hear us say this, that we realize this.
Oh, yeah, we realize it. But it's because that didn't happen also. We ran along with them, you know. You know, as they say, the sheeps are marching with the torches, and we right there with them.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, Eric, because black politicians really haven't done anything to stem the tide against racism. They've been in the pockets of lobbyists and everybody else too. Black politicians haven't done shit for black people.
Well, oh man, I tell you. Well, yeah, that's a good point. But I still say it all goes back down to the foundation. If we get that foundation right, we won't have to worry about our young men populating the prison cells. You know, because they're doing more than just slinging on the corners or stealing cars or what have you. In fact, I watched something last night, and I just had to shake my head. It's called Bait Car. I remember Kate Bait Car. And, you know, the police give the car out there and, you know, in places where cars are known to be stolen. So these two guys are riding in the car, you know, and then the police took the car off, so it stops wherever they are. And the thing, the one guy can say, man, I'm on probation, man. So where are your morals? I mean, where's the teaching? You're already on probation, but yet you out there still stealing cars.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know this, if you know you're on probation, you know, why are you out here stealing cars? Why aren't you out doing something positive, trying to change your life?
You know, yeah, well, that's the question. That's probably the
foundational question that you started off with, because I wanted to explore that, because I said let me introduce this particular question. If black kids knew that they could get a job out of high school for about $25,000 a year, how many black kids would accept that position as opposed to becoming either a wannabe rapper or a wannabe Superfly?
Oh, my. Oh, my. Here we go. You know what, Joe? We'll say that for tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's Freedom Friday. So it's
I know Vernon was talking about there would be a lot of kids who would not want that sure thing job, but they would go for the blink.
He's right. But that's why I say we need that for tomorrow, because that's a whole different other can you have to open right there. A whole nother
thing. All right. Okay. I don't want to continue with this black white thing. Jesus. Every time I get on a black show nowadays, it always goes down.
Oh, whatever. Whatever.
It's true. I've been talking about just you and your show.
Joe, you might as well look for that when you start dealing with stuff like that, because like we said earlier, man, one of the easiest things for, you know, my people to do is to point the finger at somebody else, man.
Mm.
You know, now you wanna sit there and not raise your kids. You know, I heard them talking about, you know, people on the government assistance and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff being, you know, it was by design and all that stuff to bring the community down. But if you really want to do something positive, then and you want to, you know, help your kids to do better and yourself do better, if you own that system, won't you let that system help you to do that? Because most of the time, people that are on that system and getting all that assistance, they not working full-time jobs.
Mm.
They not working a damn full-time job, so they got more time than a person working a full-time job that don't have assistance to raise the kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
that's true.
And build some structure in their own.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
I'd like to
say one more thing. This issue of reparations, they aren't coming. There's not going to be any reparations. We need to get past all this anger. I mean, women got the vote a lot later than men did, you know. So we have to just get rid of this anger and bitterness and resentment toward each other as races and work together, because there's hardly any problem in the black community that poor white people don't have either.
Wow. Okay.
That's the problem.
Yeah, we're going to end it right there. And as I always do, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. But what we're going to do, we're going to go on ahead and give the last words to you, like we always do, because I like to hear what y'all final thoughts are. So we're going to start with Carlene. Your final words, ma'am?
I would say that a house is no stronger than its foundation, and a family is no stronger than its foundation. It starts at home, the parents.
Oh, all right. All right, that's it. All righty. Thank you, ma'am. See you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. All right, Kat?
Oh, I've said everything.
All righty. Thank you.
Don't
for
go away, Kat, when he mutes you, because I got a retort for what you said.
Mm. Oh, Lord. All right, Mr. Alonzo.
Well, I think I'm going to go with Mr. Talk today. I think the most important thing is the foundation, which is the family. And I think the other thing to add to that has to be, we have to have an attitude towards education. And we've got to build mantras in the black community. In other words, we're strong black people. We've been through slavery. We've made it. And we need to say, hey, we need to aspire for education. We need to aspire for love. We need to aspire for peace. And without that, that's what we've got to do. We've got to build those mantras, and that's what we've got to do.
All right. Thank you, sir. Make you my new co-host almost. All right. Thank you, Alonzo. Vernon, your turn.
Good show, man. I enjoyed everything. You know, Alonzo, that guy, he has a lot of good points, man. I like a lot of things he's saying, because, you know, like I said, that pointing the finger at people and that stuff there, man, that stuff is dead. That is, it ain't going to get you nowhere.
Nowhere.
Point the finger. Like you said, you're going to have to build a foundation. Build a foundation in your house, with your children, your family, and then go from there. Man, I guarantee you'll be a whole lot more productive than you are doing nothing and just pointing the finger at people, man. Because it ain't got us nowhere this far, and it's not going to get us anywhere in the future.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. All right, thanks, Vernon. Your big head cousin say he should be back tomorrow. they got him on the grind. All right, Mr. Joe.
I'll wait to give my rejoinder when we have a show about females again. I'll just wait for Kat to come back on, because then maybe that'll be an incentive for her to come back on. And then she and I can go around with this male versus female like she and I do sometimes.
That was it.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Okay.
You know me, I don't usually have profound words of wisdom at the end of the show. I just say about 20 seconds, and that's it.
Okay. All right, thank you. Another great show here on Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, we've discussed a whole lot of things. You know, and of course, you know, the black community have been devastated by liberal and progressive policies and programs, you know. But we are letting it happen. You know what I mean? We're letting it happen. So how can we keep complaining? Because eventually it gets old. It's the same argument over and over and over again. Blame somebody else. We need to step up and take responsibility for what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? All right. Thank y'all for joining us today. Do not forget to send any comments to ericstalk@gmail.com or stop by my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. All right, y'all. Y'all ready for my closing? I think it's an interesting one today. Okay. And in closing, as black people, let's change our mindset of looking for and discussing the negative aspects of black relationships, failed marriages, and the downfall of the black community. I encourage us to start talking about the benefits of black relationship marriages. Start uplifting each other so we can begin to really focus on building stronger relationships, marriages, and a more solid foundation for future generations. We must stop fighting, killing, and tearing each other down as a people and come together in love so we can begin to build and be black and proud. As the great author Napoleon Hill said eloquently, what the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. Why not believe we can come together and learn to love each other despite our imperfections so we can achieve that solid foundation called families? Take back our communities. To accomplish this, we must learn how to love unconditionally and unselfishly. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." Repeatedly, I have heard on my show that black people are always looking for a handout or someone to bail them out. As black people, ask yourself, if we don't do it for ourselves, our children, and our future, who's going to do it for us? And that was my closing for today. All right, y'all. Once again, I want to thank y'all for joining me today. And without y'all, I wouldn't have no show. So, yes, much appreciated. Don't forget, tomorrow is Freedom Friday. Well, whatever we talk about is whatever on mind. So we can continue from the day or earlier in the week or just come up with something new. Because that's why Freedom Friday, whatever we want to talk about, we can. Just remember to keep smiling. Show a lot of appreciation to the person that you love, and you can get some appreciation back. Because every now and then, it's nice to let somebody know how you feel about them. And you can be surprised at your reward. Don't forget to forgive with an open heart. No, because you got to forgive. Now, if your heart is closed and full of evil, and you haven't forgiven yourself, then there's no way you can forgive anybody else. Imagine that. And that kind of goes along with what the show was about today. All right. Well, until then, y'all, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific tomorrow, for Freedom Friday. And as we get out of here, we're going to play the song of the day one more time, which tells us a lot about what's going on today. and that is Respect Yourself by the Staple Singers. I am out of here.